How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Amen. Let's see if the Lord will help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this family of God. Thank you for each person here. Lay your hand special way upon Christopher and his graduation time. We know he's being prepared by you for a godly future. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for touching Teresa. Keep her strong. Putting on the whole armor of God, as we'll return to next Sunday morning. Thank you for her life. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for Mrs. Corley this morning, her birthday, the anniversary. Thank you for every mother here. And in the next few moments, Lord, we ask you to help us to honor them. Because we know that, Jesus, when you were here, you were really careful to honor your mother. You set us that example. And we come here to do that kind of business today as a family. Talk about our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your teaching notes, if you would. We're going to talk about great mothers of the Bible for a few moments. And I only have four. I never knew there's so many women in the Bible until this week I started studying the women of the Bible. There are hundreds of women in the Bible. And their stories are so exciting. So I tried to narrow it down to four women, four mothers that I want to tell you about. First of all, I want to talk about the value of mothers. God. We're talking here about the most important person in the universe. Great in splendor, mighty indeed. We're talking about God, the creator of all things. Who can describe him? How does he describe himself? In an attempt to let us know what he is like, he described himself as a mother. That must give us some great indication. Oh, here we go. God compares himself to a mother. Here it is in Isaiah. He says, I am as one whom his mother comforteth. And I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to comfort you just like a mother does. Personally, I think that's about the highest honor God could ever give anyone. To take the greatness of his person and to suggest to us that there are on this planet a special group of people that resemble him. He didn't name the prophets. He didn't say, I'm like the prophets. I'm like the apostles. I'm not like the pastors. He says, I am like a mother. And in that one short sentence, he dignified mothers. Mothers bring eternity into existence. Once you become a mother, you bring into existence someone who will never perish. Someone who did not exist before you became a mother. In your womb, eternity was born. Somebody said, mothers are the holiest living thing on earth. I doubt that there's ever been a mother who didn't feel the weight, the care, and the responsibility of nurturing eternity. I doubt a mother has ever existed who did not ascribe to that baby, that child, love and dignity. Because mothers are the holiest thing on this planet. They're valuable because children are valuable. Little children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. Because what happens in a mother's womb is a mutual endeavor by a mother and by God. Divinity and humanity meet in the womb of a mother. Humanity, because a baby is on the way. Divinity, because it is God who puts the Spirit inside the baby. That's why the Scriptures teach that when we die, we don't die like an animal who goes downward to the earth, but the Spirit goes upward from whence it came. And born in the womb of every mother is an eternal being that required both the cooperation of God and a woman. And those babies are valuable. In any country where Christ is honored, the value of human life goes up. In a country where Jesus and the gospel are not honored, the value of human life goes down. Since 1973, the value of human life in America has been going down and directly proportional to the power of the gospel. Has been inverted as well. So, parents, or rather children, or mothers are valuable also because they are the child's first teacher. This is what gets a child off to the right beginning. Mother. She is the first character forming influence in a child's life. So let's go to some of the mothers of the Bible. And let's start with Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Now, she got accused of being drunk, but she wasn't. So let's take a look at the scripture. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, who was the priest, looked at her mouth. And Hannah spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And so Eli thought she was drunk. What a mother this turns out to be, by the way. We want to identify some of the characteristics that made her a great mother. Here's one, is that she was a prayer. A good mother is a praying mother. A good mother never stops praying. A good mother starts praying before the child is born. A mother prays for a child every day the child is in the womb. And you know what? Mothers keep praying for them automatically every day of their lives. And that's what made Hannah so great. Some of those prayers are not utterable. They are so intense as she was here. She moved her lips, but no sound came out. And the priest thought she was been drinking. But she affirmed that indeed she hadn't. So he said, "How long are you going to be drunk? Get rid of the wine from you." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk no wine, no strong drink. But what I am doing is I am pouring out my soul before the Lord." I want to tell you what. That's what makes a good mother. Who pours her soul out before. She's got this treasure that's so important that she realizes not only is the responsibility beyond her, but there is a God who wants to help her with that responsibility. God helps mothers as much or more than he helps anybody else on this planet. Because they're cooperating together in a joint effort. So Hannah was a prayer through. Secondly, she knew where the child came from. She knew where children came from. Most people don't today. They think it's merely biological. But she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." We've said it before, I repeat it as briefly as possible, that when a man and a woman get together sexually or maritally, there's going to be a baby, probably. Flesh is coming together, but you see, you are not flesh. You have flesh, but you are not flesh. You are a spirit. What God does is he puts the person inside the flesh. So she knew that. Because you see, when a baby is born, God puts the person inside the baby. That's found in the book of Malachi, chapter 2. It's found in Ecclesiastes. It's found in the book of John. It's repeated that God, their heritage of the Lord. So she knew where children came from. And then she did a very wise thing, this mother. She dedicated her son to the Lord. That's about the best thing any mother can do with a son or with a daughter. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him." She prayed for this child. And so she says, "Therefore I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." And what's really neat is that the son responded and he worshiped the Lord. The son, in this case, Samuel, lived out the fulfillment of his mother's prayers. I believe that's the task and that's the right responsibility of every child. Live out the prayers they have prayed for you as a son or daughter. And then we find that part of her greatness was that she was thankful to be a mother. And she said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." So she gave thanks to be a mother. And then, this is what she said. She actually gave us a song to sing, and we sing it here. You remember this one? "There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord." So she was grateful. She turned this prayer to the Lord. And here we find that the child did minister unto the Lord for Eli the priest. Thankful to be a mother. On a New Testament pattern of the same, we have what's called the Mothers of Salem. They're the mothers that when Jesus was in Salem, passing through town, preaching, the mothers brought their children to him. Then were brought, they didn't get there by themselves, unto him little children. And these mothers wanted the Lord to put his hands on them and to pray for them. Isn't it interesting that mothers not only pray for their children, but they want other people to pray for their children? And especially do they want their children connected to the Lord? See, mom won't be there all the time. But a child who gets connected to the Lord has his mother's God with him all the time, even when mom can't be there. So a mother wants their children connected to God. So here these mothers of Salem brought their children to Jesus and wanted them to put his hands on them and to pray for them. But look at this. Look what happened. The disciples thought better of it. And they thought they rebuked the mothers for bringing the children. But Jesus said to the disciples, and he stopped them, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, because this is what the kingdom of heaven is made out of, little children." So he laid his hands on them before he left. Here were mothers, great mothers of the Bible, without names, just a group of them. Make sure my children get to Jesus. And that's part of what makes mothers great. And now we got a mother and a grandmother. Their names are Eunice and Lois. So here we go. And it's in 2 Timothy, and they are the mother and the grandmother of Timothy. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy, it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's now in thee also." Grandmothers give to their daughters something that in this case got sent on to Timothy. He had a mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. And they had genuine faith. And so he got his faith from them. But there's something else we learn about them. About it. And that is that the scriptures plainly teach that daughters become like their mothers. You have heard it said, like father, like son. That's sort of true, but it's based on this scripture. This one in the Bible says, as a mother, so is her daughter. A daughter turns out like her mother. This is the law of scripture. This is an observation of wisdom. As the mother, so is her daughter. Look at this. If the mother's bad, the daughter's going to be bad. "Thou art thy mother's daughter that loathes her husband." You show me a mother that loathes her husband, I'll show you a daughter that loathes her husband. Because whatever a mother has spreads to a daughter. As in this case of Eunice and Lois. They loathed their husbands. Look at this. They even loathed their children. How did they get this way? Because of this. The daughter will turn out like her mother. But a son doesn't turn out like his mother, usually. A son usually turns out like his father. Now, I want you to see this. Because here we've got Eunice and Lois, both ladies, both mothers, but now we got a son who turns out right, Timothy. How could this happen? Because he didn't have a father. Either his father had left and deserted, or his father was deceased. We're not just sure how. But we know that Timothy was raised by his mother and his grandmother. How was it that he turned out? If a girl turns out like her mother and a son turns out like his father, how come Timothy turned out okay? The answer is in the Scriptures. Because Lois and Eunice accommodated a father in Timothy's life. And that father's name was Paul the Apostle. Look at this. Paul's writing to him, I charge, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. So wherever a mother has a son, and there is no father or no husband who is the father, it is important that they link that son with a godly man. And it also means that the mother and the grandmother were doing their task as well, but they knew that this was a boy, not a girl. As a daughter, so is her mother. As a mother, so is the daughter. But now we got a boy in our hands, and here's a mother with a son. She got a grandmother, or she's got a mother, or she's got a mother who's godly. So you got a grandmother who's godly, a godly mother, but the risk is high that without a godly father, this boy is going to go the wrong direction. So what made these mother so great? It was that these mother and this grandmother made sure that in that boy Timothy's life, there was somebody who treated him like a son, who was a godly senior man. And that man was Paul. And he always talked about his son Timothy. Not his son by natural birth. But he filled the function and did what the Scriptures said God would do. Provide a father to the fatherless. Everybody get it? How many got it? Good. I keep going then. What made this mother and this grandmother so great in the Bible was they taught the Scriptures. Look at the Scripture. And Paul's writing, Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So his mother taught him the Scriptures, and his grandmother taught him the Scriptures. Moments ago, Pastor Corley said he'd like to have a grandmother's day. I think that's a splendid idea. I won't tell you why. The Scriptures, God gives instruction. Teach these things to your children and your children's children. One of the things that's happened in this, what we call the rootless society day, is that this little family gets started and it removes itself from its roots, the parents. And they go off and live miles away and there's no influence of the grandparents on it. It's wrong. God charges each of us with a responsibility not just to teach our children, but to teach our children's children. So now the children are getting what their parents teach them and what their grandparents teach them, which ought to be the same because the children learn it from their parents. And from their grandparents. And so God meant this overlap. And so what made these mothers and this grandmother great is that they taught the Scriptures. And this is the Scripture that precedes the one most of us have memorized. Because this is what makes a man of God perfect. It's what makes a man of God. It's what makes the man of God truly furnished unto all good works. Not doing a little bit of good once in a while, but good in everything they do. Because they got the Scriptures. Because all Scripture is given. Here's the reason. But remember, it's because this is the verses right after where we learn that these mother and this grandmother taught the scriptures to young Timothy, whose father figure and father involvement in his life was Paul. Now, the third mother in the Bible I want to talk about is Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't think any woman is talked about more in the world than Mary. Certainly, nobody is honored as highly as Mary. So let's look at the elements that made Mary such a wonderful mother to Jesus and his brothers. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise when as Mary, his mother Mary was espoused, that was the engaged to Joseph, before they came together. There had been no hanky-panky, there had been no immoral relationship, but she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And I want to suggest to you first that this is one of the first character qualities that made Mary the mother she was, the purity of her life. That though she was engaged, she didn't come together with the man before they were married. That sounds like really being narrow-minded these days, doesn't it? But it's the truth. Sexual relationships before marriage is wrong, impure, defiling, an abomination to God, and in fact, in violation of one of the big Ten Commandments. It's become so much to be accepted. But here they were engaged, and they kept themselves pure, but she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Second thing that made Mary great was that she was the companion of God. An angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. Look at this, the Lord is with thee." That's what makes a mother great. When the Lord is with them and everything they do, when you have the Lord plus you, Mom, you've got what it takes. Blessed art thou among women if you have the Lord with you. He is your companion. Best friend a mother ever had was Jesus the Savior. Another thing that made Mary great was that she was yielded to her husband's godly leadership. Joseph had a dream. And when he got up from his sleep, he took unto him his wife. I want you first to see that probably one of the most profound things his, that he took her to be his wife, and watch this. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. He was a godly man. He found out that his intended bride was going to conceive supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. And so he took her to wife and he married her. He had intended to divorce or separate the betrothal, the engagement, cancel the engagement, but instead he was warned of the Lord to go ahead and marry her, and he did. And look at this man. His wife is pregnant. He's married to her. Everything is legal. And this man exercised amazing self-control. Because even though he was married, he knew her not. He had such self-control that he refused the rightful marital relationship until after the child was born. I want to suggest to you that if we men will exercise self-control, our wives will have an easier time yielding to us. And somebody ought to say amen in there. I'm not sure which gender. Well, my wife will go for that one. But the rest of you need to get this, because we men are to be followed by wives, but we better be followable. So I want you to see his self-control. And then he had a dream. And the dream, the angel said, "Arise, take your young child and take the mother and flee to Egypt." And here is a mother again, who yielded the leadership of the family to her husband. even though she had in her arms the Son of God. And then another thing that made Mary great was the way she contemplated the future of her child. Everybody was talking about Jesus after he was born. The shepherds, the wise men. Here's the shepherd's story. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And everybody was wondering about it. All the stuff that was told them by the shepherds, but not Mary. She wasn't talking about it. She kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. A godly mother ponders the future of her child. It is so critically important to her, his well-being. And then, as Jesus grew up, he was closely monitored in terms of his development. Another thing that made this mother a great mother. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So they kept checking on his condition. And then what made this mother great is they kept the child under authority. Do you remember at the age of 12, he's debating with the teachers at the synagogue. They're making their way home and they're missing Jesus and they have to go back and they find him. And they said, come on. And Jesus says to them, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? But watch what happened. They said, no, son. How would you like to be the parents of God? And God speaks up and says, hey, I'm doing what my Heavenly Father wants me to do. If you were the parents of God, what would you tell them? Well, this father and this mother said, come on, boy, get back in line. You're coming home with us. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth. And look at this. And Jesus was subject unto them. But his mother kept everything he said in his heart. But Jesus obeyed his father and his mother. And they made sure that he stayed under authority. You show me a child that doesn't learn to obey his parents, I'll show you a child that will never obey God. The first step to obeying God is obeying parents. Because when a child rejects the authority of parents, they have rejected authority. See, Satan's kingdom runs in anarchy, but the kingdom of God has authority structure to it. That simple. Then they made sure that the child's life was balanced. Jesus increased in wisdom and physical stature and spiritually in favor with God. And look at this, social development and in favor with man. They oversaw the child's growth in all four aspects. Making another attribute to this greatness of this mother of the Bible, the mother of Jesus. And then Mary, because Jesus' father passed away, and he didn't have a father anymore, and Jesus took over the carpentry business that had been his father's. And then they end up going to this wedding. He's 30 years of age now. And at this marriage, they run out of wine, and his mother says, my son can fix this problem. So she goes to Jesus, and she tells Jesus, they need wine, you go make them some. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? It's not mine hour is not yet come. Now remember, when he was 12, he thought it was his hour, but it wasn't. And now he's 30, and he's still under the authority of his parent, his mother, because his father's deceased, and he's still not about the father's business because he was subject to his mother and under the authority, and as far as he was concerned, until she says, go, I'm not doing it. And then she says, now's the time. Watch this. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus launched into the ministry on the approval of his mother at the age of 30. So we got a mother here who knew the authority kept the authority even after his father's pass, the father's passing, and here, at this time, releases him into the ministry. This beginning of miracles did Jesus. It started right here because Mary said to. One more thing about Mary that made her so great, and it makes a mother great, is that a mother is loyal no matter how tough circumstances get. Look at this phrase. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. Guess who was there? His mother. His mother's sister, whose name was also Mary. And then there was Mary Magdalene. Three ladies were there, all named Mary. And they stood by him. 12 disciples. Judas betrays. Peter denies. And the other 10 have run away. This is something to learn, friends. A mother will stick by you when everybody else has forsaken you. Here's Mary. Son has been convicted. The mob is against him. It was a dangerous place to be in association with him. That's why the disciples had fled. The mother never forsakes a child. It's part of what made Mary such a great mother. It's part of what makes us great mother today. Then lastly, Bathsheba. And you might be shocked that the pastor would include on Mother's Day such a lady as Bathsheba as one of the great mothers of the Bible. So with this I close. Hey, it's only 12 minutes after 11. Is that good news? Your hopes are coming true. How is it possible that a woman that started out so bad could end up so good? She was an adulteress. You know the story. And yet she became one of the greatest mothers in all history. How do we know that she became a great mother? You know the greatness of parenting by the greatness of the children. Great mothers raise great sons. Great fathers raise great sons. Now watch this. Because this woman learned not to let her whole life be ruined by one sin, no matter how big, grievous, and devastating that sin was. There's a lot of mothers who have failed. There's a lot of women who have become immoral and debauched. And the only difference between them and the women of the streets is they have nicer clothes and go to nicer offices. Low life in high-rise buildings is still low life. And women have been damaged. And women have been wounded, and women have been hurt, and they've been cast down. They've given up their virginity, they've given up their purity, they've given. Is there any hope for them? Let every woman learn what Bathsheba learned. not to let a sin, one sin, ruin your whole life. Look at this. David was the one she committed adultery with. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Look at this. And he turned not aside from anything that God commanded him all the days of his life. Watch it now. Except in the matter of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. David had one weak moment, one flaw, one sin that was so devastating that when we think of David today, what do we go to? We think of that sin. He did everything else right, but the story in the book of Samuel, the men were out at war and David stayed in Jerusalem. First problem, the man wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be out there at war with the rest of the guys. When a man goes where he shouldn't go or is where he shouldn't be, he's setting himself up. Satan will get him because by doing right, you overcome evil. If you're not in your right spot, then you're in the wrong spot. And David was in the wrong spot. He was back in Jerusalem. And he's looking across the neighborhood at the houses in the neighborhood and he sees this beautiful woman. And so he sent for her. Now, we always talk about David's sin in this, and it was David's sin. But what about her culpability? When she was sent for, she could have said, no, I'm a married man, the king should know better, and she should not have responded. She happened to be married to one of the highest-ranking officers in David's army. Her father also was a high-ranking officer in the army. Her name means daughter of oath. Vows had been taken of allegiance to David in that family. And now David violates this woman, brings her to his palace, and commits adultery with her, and the shock is she sends a message to him, I'm now pregnant. So David, quick to cover up, sends for Uriah, her husband. Bring him back from the field. He comes back from the field, and David says, here's some wine, and here's some food, and go spend the night with your wife. Because then the baby would look like his. And Uriah was so loyal to David, he refused. And he slept at the door of the palace to protect his king instead of taking the leisure moments back with his own household and with his wife. And when David found this out, he was furious. Because his plan wasn't working to cover up, to deceive. So the next thing he does is he said, hey, I want you to stay 3 more days. And this time, he purposely made Uriah drink until he was drunk. He lost all of his presence of mind, and in this drunken condition, David was sure they would go home and sleep with his wife, and this baby thing would get covered up. The problem was that even in his drunkenness, his loyalty to David was so intense that he refused to go home to his wife and pitched camp, slept in his drunken stupor for 3 days at the door of the palace. And so he finally goes back to the war. And David sends a message to Joab. Joab, the hottest battle, wherever it is, I want you to put Uriah in it, and I want you to put him right in the front of the battle so he will get killed. And Joab does what the king says to do, and Uriah is dead. And so this, you'd think this came right out of Hollywood, wouldn't you? Such a plot, such a scheme. And Bathsheba was party to this plot. And finally, with the death of Uriah, David marries Bathsheba. The baby is born. Nobody knows the story, the truth, the facts. And the baby is sick. But they're not getting away with it. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David and Bathsheba mourned over that child. In fact, almost every sermon and every that's preached in any funeral quotes the words of David. When that baby died, David said this: "A child cannot come to us, but I can go to the child." Every funeral, they tell that story. So this is the tragedy, and this is what happened. She faced the consequences, and look at this. This woman, past, no matter how bad it's been, learned from Bathsheba, who became one of the greatest mothers in all of the Bible. From such tragedy to such great triumph. From such shame to such honor. From such waste to such glory. How did this occur? It started when she faced her sin and found forgiveness. And David is confessing collectively now to the prophet Nathan that we have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, "The Lord hath put away your sin." You guys, you and Bathsheba, collectively, you will not die because the Lord hath put away your sin. I want to tell you something. That's the greatest thing can happen to everybody, anybody on this planet, is have the Lord put away your sin. Amen. He is the God who gives a fresh start. We end up here with a mother that is so powerful, most of us read her writings and the writings of her son, because this adulterous woman, shameful in her act, co-conspiring with the death of her husband, becomes one of the greatest mothers in all history. Because she made contact with a God who knows how to forgive. Who knows how to take what you did in the past and put it out of existence so you can be new. So here, she receives forgiveness for her sins. And then she began to raise the next boy. And his name was Solomon, whose name means beloved of the Lord. Now, just to show you the greatness of this mother, and by the way, the fruit of her greatness is in the son. Bathsheba raised this boy, Solomon. And look at what the New Testament says. A greater than Solomon is here. According to the Bible, until Jesus got here, Solomon was the greatest. The greatest in wisdom, the greatest in power, the greatest in possession, the greatest in influence. He was the conqueror of the then known world. Not only that, but kings from other nations who he wasn't even at war with would come and empty into his chest, his storage, his treasures, all kinds of goods he never asked for. He was such a gifted man. He had thousands of everything. He had castles galore. Amazing what this man had. But he got it because he got wisdom. Now, where did he get the wisdom? Got it from his mother. Bathsheba wrote the 31st chapter of Proverbs, the one about the virtuous woman. It was written by Bathsheba. She gave it to him in a letter to tell him the kind of women that he should watch for. She described the virtuous woman. Where do you think Solomon got all the warnings about watching out for evil women, strange women? Why do you think the book of Proverbs is so pregnant with warnings about evil men, evil women? Because Bathsheba became the greatest mother after the greatest failure. Where do you think Solomon learned that if you raise up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it? So mothers today, you know, I've had years when we had Mother's Day services here, and I've had mothers say, you know, I was depressed after the Mother's Day service because I realized I didn't measure up to what you said the Bible said a mother should be. This year, on this Mother's Day, I want you to see something vastly different. I want you to behold a mother from the Scriptures, considered one of the greatest, who after a complete and utter failure received forgiveness, received cleansing, had an entrance into her life, that she was now able to take a young man and build the character of a son. That here we are, 4,000 years later, memorizing what he said. His 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs have become the agenda for our homes, the training of our children. A man who understood life. He wrote the Ecclesiastes, the philosophy of life. For the Scriptures say the only one greater than Solomon that ever lived was Jesus. And when you read the genealogy of Jesus, you'll find Bathsheba there. Even though most of the genealogy is men, but a woman gets in there. Matthew chapter 1. Why? Because being a great mother does not have to be based on the failures of your past. But great motherhood is built when a woman refuses to let sin ruin the rest of her life and does what it takes to make peace with her God, to get the cleansing from God, and then begin to pour her life into a son and fulfill Psalm 127, which says that children are a heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the arms of a mighty man are children. They shall speak in the gates. They shall not be ashamed. And our children are largely in part what mothers have made them. I happen to think that there's a lot of greatness in this room because there are some mothers in this room. I really want to do two things in closing today. I want to honor mothers, but I also want every woman here who has ever failed, and you weren't like Mary, and you weren't like Hannah, and you weren't like Eunice or Lois, but if your past resembles more like Bathsheba, that today greatness can be born in you. greatness can occur in you. If you like Bathsheba, turn your back on the sin and receive the Savior. Put your life under His management, like Teresa mentioned moments ago. And start pouring into your children the Holy Scriptures, sacred truths, the character development, the lessons that they will get from nowhere else than from a father and a mother who know the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come right now. We have a little gift for mothers. And they're going to... And look who's with us today. Look at here. I think... Are you going to let him come up here and work on... Mark Charbonneau is here this morning. Mark, you look great. How are you feeling? Don't go by your feelings. Mark had a heart attack Monday morning this past week. For those of you who didn't know, by shortly after noon hour, he was on the operating table. Got out Thursday and in church this morning. And I tell you what, how many of you have been praying for Mark this week? Man, we're on your side. We want you whole and well. And I'm so glad to see you this morning. Ushers, would you come, please, and bring a little gift for the mothers here. And what we wanted to give you this year doesn't look very expensive. And it's not just hand them out really quickly to mothers, if you would. And I would like you to open your package, if you would, when you get it. This package is a pen. It says Women of God on it, and a little writing tablet. And in closing today, we want to honor our mothers. And so, let's look at the scripture. Honor your father and your mother. Today happens to be Mother's Day, so look at this. This is the first commandment with a promise. Because if you do this, it will be well with you, and you'll live a long time on the earth. Now, can I have one of your pages, Mrs. J? It's just a little sheet of paper. It's a whole pad for them to have, but I would like them to give one to each member of their family right now. And please just pull a couple pages off and give it to each member of your family. Because I believe this paper is going to have new value in just a few moments from now. What I'm going to ask you to do this morning to honor mothers is at the top of this piece of paper, I want you to write, Dear Mother. And I'm going to give you a few moments for you to write a little note to your mother. Don't go longer than this page. Or I'll get accused of keeping you too late today. And I want everyone to write their mother. One more thing. Watch up here for a moment. If you're married and you're a father, I want you to take a second page. And I want you to write, Dear Mother of our children. And I want every husband to write, Dear Mother of our children. And I want you men to write a note to your wife who is the mother of your children. And let me suggest to you that the greatest thing a man can do for his children is to love their mother. The greatest thing a man can do for his child is to love his mother. So we're going to take time to write. Now, if your mother, like my mother, is deceased, I'll tell you what I intend to do. I intend to write, Dear God, on here. And I intend to give him thanks for my mother. So if your mother's deceased, maybe you'd like to join me in that. Whatever the case is, your mother is deceased, write a letter to the Lord thanking him for character qualities or whatever you wish about your mother. Let's take a moment to do this. Just hold your letter for a moment. Don't give it out yet. Just hold on to it. We're only about 3 minutes away from dismissal. And I hope today has been a blessing to you. Learn something about the greatness of motherhood. Most of all, I want you to be honored before you leave here. I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a moment. Shakespeare said, how much sharper than a serpent's tooth is an ungrateful child. If your mother is not here this morning, just drop this in the mail or hand deliver it to her this afternoon. Make sure you get it to her. If your mother is here, then in just a moment, I want you to hand it to her and spend a few moments with her. And if your wife is here, the mother of your children, the kids go first, and then you hand yours to her. And while we dismiss the service, I think wherever we're clustered in our families, that'd be a good thing to honor our mothers. Amen? Let's stand together, shall we? There may be those here who are mothers and don't have anybody to write you a note this morning. I just thought of that right now. And so as we pray, I want to pray especially for you. Heavenly Father, I'm glad that you are like a mother to us. I'm glad that you have dignified motherhood by this association between you and motherhood. And I am glad, Lord, that you gave us living examples in the Bible. Not of people who were perfect, but people who, in spite of failures, rose up to be what they should be. Mothers who learned the great lessons of life and instilled them into their children. Thank you for them. Thank you, Lord, for the greatness in our mothers that are with us today. And in some small way, we want to take this little sheet of paper and give it to them as an encouragement. And Lord, for those who are here who are mothers, their children are not here, or their husbands are not here, or they don't get a letter from anybody right now, I especially want, desire the Holy Spirit shall give them special affirmations right now. A well done, good and faithful servant. We know we'll hear it someday. Oh God, may they be encouraged as well today. And may this be one of the greatest Mother's Days we've ever had. Perhaps because some mothers here will commit to the greatness of the future and the greatness of the training of their children because of Bathsheba. So I ask this to occur. The founding fathers of this country had mothers who were true from center to circumference, steady as a needle to the pole, who didn't give up. I thank you for these mothers today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take time now to cluster where your family is and turn over the writing. And don't rush out. Give me a chance to get the back so I can shake your hand.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.